This podcast is provided by National MI for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional advice. Reference to any third-party products or services, as well as the views, thoughts, and opinions of guests, does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by National MI. Views and opinions expressed by National MI employees are those of the individual employee and do not necessarily reflect the view of National MI.
All right, welcome to another installment of the Mortgage Mix. I am Ralph Remy with National MI, and this week's episode or this month's episode is really highlighting Customer Experience Week, which is normally celebrated the first week of October. If you're listening to this on the day this podcast is dropped, you know that Customer Service Week or Client Experience Week has pretty much wrapped up, and you've seen a lot of stuff happening this week that we have been posting. But we thought, what a great way to wrap up this week by bringing in my guest, the one, the only CX expert and super fan, Miss Brittany Hodek. Hi, Brittany, and how are you?
Thank you so much, Ralph. Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to celebrate with you. As you know, this is one of my favorite weeks of the year, so I'm always excited when I get to talk about it.
That pretty much very seamlessly comes into the first question I'm going to ask you as we kind of go through CX Week, and that is, what does CX Week mean to you? Because I know you've probably celebrated this many years along the way, probably every year it's been in existence. So what does that mean to you, knowing that this has become such a big focus now for so many companies out there, including ours?
You know, I've been out there preaching the importance of customer centricity and customer experience for years and years and years. So to me, this week is just fun to see other people exposed maybe for the first time, or maybe being reminded of what an important role customer experience plays. One of the things, Ralph, that I know you've heard me talk about before that I always say is experience is everything. It's the number one differentiator between you and every single one of your competitors. It is so, so critical that you think about and really plan for and nail what that experience is. But the inverse of that, which is everything is experience, is also true. And I think CX Week really, you know, puts a point on that of, you know, every single touch point that one of your employees or a piece of software representing your brand is in front of a customer. That matters. That's a touch point that's creating an experience that's either going to leave them better, worse, or exactly the same as they were before they interacted with you. So having a week to really bring all of that into a focus to say, how can we deliver an even more amazing experience for our customers is always a really fun week for me.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I couldn't agree more. I think this has been a very exciting week for us here at National MI, just trying to really appreciate and celebrate everything that we do with our clients day in and day out. So we've actually posted some things throughout the week, starting with some kind of just announcing and launching CX Day. And then we had a very special video by our Senior Director of Customer Success, Kelly Barks, really talked about what CX means to her. And I really want to highlight a couple things, because I think these things will resonate for you, Brittany, because it's a lot of things you love to talk about. I love the fact that she said trust and confidence, or trust creates confidence for the unsure. You know, you help turn frustration into relief. So talk about really turning kind of, as I like to say, turning a frown upside down. So, and then the focus is really on the customer. So everything that they do, and I, one thing of note, and I know you talk about it quite a bit in your book, Superfans, and I see that in your background there, about just the way to make it easy for your customers to reach you. And one of the things I know Kelly is really proud of her team in our Solution Center is the fact that there's no automated system when you call in. It's literally you call in and someone picks up the phone. It's not welcome to National MI, click here for one for this, two for that. So I'd love to hear your thoughts around that and about the ease of creating a great customer experience by just making it easier on them and taking away the hurdles.
Yeah, you should always try to remove the friction everywhere it exists. in your customer's journey. And getting you on a phone is a great example. If someone has a hard time getting in touch with you, or they have a negative experience getting in touch with you before they've even had the opportunity to give you money, the natural inclination is to think, oh, this is only going to get worse after they have my money. So you always want to make it simple. And, you know, I love the idea of having a human answer the phone instead of a phone tree or recorded message. If you are in a position where it's necessary to have a recorded message, I've got a couple of pieces of advice. Number one is to review it on a very regular basis. Make sure that everything you're saying is concise and correct. And number two is see how you can infuse some of your brand's personality. I was calling the Nashville Zoo a few months ago. We're members of the zoo, and there was like a special thing that was happening, and I wasn't totally clear if I needed extra tickets or not. So I couldn't find the information online. I called the zoo. They did have a recorded message, but as I was waiting for someone to pick up, there were different animal sounds that they had actually recorded at the Nashville Zoo. So you had somebody saying, this is our spider monkey exhibit. And like, you heard the spider monkeys. And then they were like, oh, this is what the rhinoceroses sound like during mating season. And it was like crazy rhinos. And it was so fun that I was like, you know, when somebody picked up a minute later, I was like, no, wait, like, what did the bird sound like? I wasn't done listening to the message. And the woman sort of laughed. And she was like, you would be amazed how many people that I talk to that are like, okay, but I'm going to call back after we're done. And please don't pick up, because I want to hear the rest of the message. And if you can get to a point where people are like, no, please let me stay on hold a little longer, then you know, you're doing a great job. So remove as much friction as possible for your customers. And in the instances where you can't connect with them automatically, you know there's going to be a little bit of a friction point, how can you make it feel very on brand? How can you relieve the burden so that they don't mind sitting on wait?
Yeah, and I love how you said that, because you're right. You know, in this case, you almost didn't even feel like you were on hold. It almost felt like a seamless transition, that you were almost transitioning from one part of their experience to the next, which is then getting your answer by speaking to somebody on the phone. So I did want to ask you about listening, because I know that's a big part in your book and a key part of just any type of experience and even customer service as a whole. And Kelly in her video talked about active listening really helps in connecting. And you have kind of a system or a process as far as making sure we're actively listening or attentively listening, to our clients. And I like to say it's not just listening to respond, but it's listening to understand. So talk to me a little bit about your listening process as it relates to providing a world-class client experience.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of those things that's kind of counterintuitive, because you might think, oh, I know how to listen. I do it all the time. But it's kind of like Wi-Fi. Like, you may not understand all of the intricacies of like how it works, even if you're engaging with it on a regular basis. That example is fresh in my mind, because my six-year-old asked me the other day, how exactly did Wi-Fi work? And I was like, that is a great question. Why don't we look it up together?
Is that where the Google machine comes into play?
Exactly. Like, let's learn together about how Wi-Fi works. So listening is the same way. Even though it's something that we've done our entire lives, not all listening is created equal. And I love that Kelly talks about active listening, because it is such a critical component. When I had the pleasure of speaking to your team at the beginning of the year, Ralph, one of the quotes that I shared on stage was one of my very favorite quotes from Teddy Roosevelt. He said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's the idea of leading with empathy to enhance your authority. And active listening plays right into that, because if you aren't taking the time to truly understand your customer or your colleague or whoever you're sitting across from, it diminishes the value of everything you say to them, because they think, oh, this is just the standard canned response. They haven't created this response. It's not just for me. It's not based on the inputs that I've given them. It's just like the standard output. So the process that I talk about for active listening goes like this. There's five steps. The first step is to listen with your complete attention, like not 95% of your attention while you're thinking about what you're going to watch on Hulu later. Like listen with your full attention, the way that, you know, a three-year-old listens to somebody in a Hulk costume at a carnival, like full total attention. The second step is to repeat back what you heard. And there's a lot of ways that you can do it. You can say, oh, I think I heard you say, and then summarize what you heard. Or if I understand correctly, you, and then repeat back what you heard. The third step, and this is the most important one that gets overlooked so much, is to ask, is that right? Yeah. Because oftentimes hearing something back alerts somebody that they didn't explain it exactly right. Like they maybe missed something, or they maybe didn't articulate it totally correctly. And hearing somebody say it back gives them the opportunity to then correct that or confirm that if everything is right. But that's really important, because a lot of times just simply repeating back what you heard and saying, is that right? You catch things that would have become problems later down the road if you were operating under one set of, you know, understanding, and somebody else was not on that same wavelength. So you're going to listen with your full attention. You're going to repeat back what you heard. You're going to say, is that right? Then you're going to continue that process until you have all of the information that you need. So that's the fourth step. You continue down that path. So when you say, did I get it right? They answer, continue to ask questions until you have all of the information that you need. And then the fifth and final step of active listening, which is also critical, is you want to record that information somewhere. So you may be taking notes for yourself. Very likely, if you're doing this at work, you've got some sort of CRM or project management program where you need to put notes in, not just for you to refer back to later, but also for other people on your team. So you want to make sure that you're following all of those steps, you're taking notes, and then you're recording that information to be used later. And if you can do that, if you just follow those five steps, you will be ahead of like 95% of the people on the planet when it comes to listening. And the cool thing is you can do this anywhere. Like you can do this with your kids, you can do this with your spouse, you can do this with people in the community. And it's amazing how well people respond when they feel like they're being truly understood. Someone's actually giving them the time and the space to share their thoughts and then responding to those. So active listening is critically important, not just externally, but internally as well. Active listening is one of the foundations that leads to better company workplaces, better company cultures, and higher performing teams.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because I went through that similar situation recently. I was calling my cell phone provider. They'll remain nameless for this process. Uh-oh. It wasn't a bad experience at all, you know. But every time I was calling them to tell them the issue I had, and it wasn't so much an issue as more me trying to understand something, she would repeat back my issue. And at one point, I'm going, is she understanding me? Is she not? But as we went through it, and obviously having read your book, I understood what she was doing. It actually made me feel a little bit better that she was truly confirming what it was, because I'm sure from her side, she's probably heard it a million different ways. And I'm sure she's heard my want and need a little bit more, can take you in so many different directions too. So she wants to make sure we're going down the right path to try to really try to help me and get my situation solved as efficient as possible. So it still stands true in my head. This is something that happened 2 months ago, and it still, you know, is memorable, because those questions and the repeating and did I get that right? Some people may get frustrated by it, by saying, yeah, that is what I just said, but there is, you know, a semblance of truly understanding what it is you said to help you move forward. So also another great thing we did, you know, this week was really talk about the testimonials we get from our clients. Obviously, whether it's our interactions with our team, as well as the great training that our training team provides out to our clients in the market out there. And I know you love talking about having social listening. So another different way of listening, but social listening of trying to get ourselves understanding what's out there. But also I almost will talk about becoming social proof and getting feedback. So a lot of times, one of the toughest things in our industry that we refrain from doing for whatever reason is asking for testimonials and then using those testimonials to enhance the opportunity to create new clients. I used to have a teammate that worked with me. He loved to say, use the experience of others to sell you. So talk to me a little bit about that, because I know that plays a big role in not just creating a great client experience for today, but having those people be your sales force out into the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the things I say all the time is we're living in a world where everyone is an influencer. Every single person has a community around them that will choose to work or not work with someone based solely on their experience. So anytime you have a customer talking about their experience with you, it automatically has more credibility and more believability than you saying something about you. One of the things I say is, you know, when you say you're great, that's marketing. Everybody does it. When your customers say you're great, that's magic. So having a system in place to collect that feedback and then amplify the feedback, either by sharing it on your own socials or having it on your website, making it available for people to find by going through sort of list or collection of your feedback or reviews, asking your clients to share it to wherever it matters most to you. So maybe that's Google My Business. Maybe that's a profile that you have on another website. Making sure that you're asking for that feedback and that you're planting the seeds throughout the process to let people know, you know, hey, I'm going to be asking you in a week or a month or, you know, whatever the time frame is, let them know like, hey, I'm going to be asking for your feedback and I would love for you to take the minute to fill that out. And I know a lot of people ask you for your feedback and ask you for surveys, but this is why it's so critical. And then explain to them why it matters to you. This is one of the things that I do all the time, because as you know, Ralph, I wrote a book that came out in January and I'm always asking people if they will please review it on Amazon, because that is so important. And anytime somebody says to me, you know, oh, I loved your book, whether it's in an email or a DM or at my kid's soccer game, whatever it is, I'm like, thank you so much. Can you please write that on Amazon? Like, can you please take a few seconds to write what you just said to me on Amazon? Because it is so incredibly helpful for people who don't know me and haven't read the book to decide whether or not this is the right book to help them.
Yeah. So Brittany, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we've talked about where CX has come from and how it continues to really be just part of our everyday lives. Where do you see CX going into the future? I know I talk about it. I know I've heard you say something very similar, where we've kind of gotten accustomed to the Amazon world. And what I mean by that is, A, everybody hates paying for shipping nowadays because of Prime. They've kind of accustomed the world to getting free shipping. And B, everybody is used to getting everything fast now. And everything is fast, fast, fast. But hopefully it doesn't come at a cost when it comes to providing the great customer experience. Where do you see customer experience moving forward, just not just in business as a whole, but maybe even within the mortgage community where we all sit?
Yeah, well, I love this question. I've got two thoughts on it. The first is, I think one of the mistakes that has been made, not just in customer experience, but really in like organizational behavior and organizational experience, is departments have been too siloed traditionally. So over the past several decades, as teams have grown and structures have grown, there's really been an expansion of like layers of middle management. And as part of that, you end up with all of these like little kingdoms that don't cross and don't, you know, cross-pollinate, right? There's not like a lot of assimilation. And so you have people who become very specialized in their one area. They can't tell you much about anything else. So like maybe they can tell you everything in the world about processing, but like they don't understand the sales part or the marketing part or the servicing part or the, you know, appraisals part or the underwriting part. So I think in the future, it is going to become very clear that it is necessary for anyone in an organization to understand every part of that organization and be able to speak to it, even if it's not the part that they work in. Because as a customer on the outside looking in, nobody looks at a company and sees it as a collection of departments. And no one ever in the history of the world was like, hey, I need an answer. And then somebody said, oh, sorry, that's like another department. Nobody in the history of the world was ever like, cool, thanks, like that's awesome, and felt, you know, like, oh yeah, I don't expect you to have any kind of accountability or help me out. Like, cool, you're off the hook. Like, nobody ever let anybody off the hook like that, right? Because we don't see a collection of departments. We see one company, and we expect people to be able to meet our needs. So I think one thing that's going to change is there's going to be a lot more sharing of real-time information, a lot more dashboards that everybody at the company has access to, so that anyone can come in and sort of troubleshoot or assess what's going on and be able to say to a customer, you know, hey, here's what the process is. Let me take a look and see where you are. So that's number one. I think we're going to see a lot more cross-departmental decision-making and help and sharing of data and information. Number two, I think that the bar is going to continue to get higher and higher, because in an experience economy, people aren't just comparing their experience working with you to your direct competitors. They're comparing it to the best experience they've ever had, period. Working with anyone. As you said, Amazon has spoiled us. I was joking the other day. I remember when I was a kid calling time and temperature. Did you ever do that?
Yes. Actually, I was just telling somebody about that just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Like, it was like such a thing, right? To like call the phone number and listen and see what the time and the temperature were. These days, when kids want to know what time or what temperature is, or literally anything else, they just speak aloud and the air magically answers them, right? Alexa or Siri tells them everything they want to know, whether it's the time or the temperature or a joke or, you know, what's going on in some remote corner of the world, or playing them a song or a movie. So the expectations of what's possible instantaneously are always getting higher. And I think that as time goes on, you are going to have much less acceptance of being able to say, oh, we're working on it. I don't know how much longer it's going to take, because people are going to say, okay, well, if Uber can tell me exactly how many wrong turns away from me my driver is, and Domino's can tell me who just put mushrooms on my pizza, that's not good enough. Like, what do you mean you don't know? Why don't you know? What is the reason that you don't know? So I think we're going to continue to see some of that pressure from customers saying this has to be a much more transparent process. This has to be a much more understandable process for me to understand from start to finish what's going on.
And that's interesting you say that, because in our mortgage world, the equivalent of that is, you know, customers want to know not just where their file is, and we've gotten to the point where they almost get automated updates, but I think we need to get even another step ahead to where this person has taken your file now and they're underwriting it and they're reviewing, et cetera, almost like in that Domino's chain, if you will, in the system that they use and the updates they use as they prepare your order.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that sometimes can happen, this happens with a lot of software first companies, but I see it sometimes in the mortgage industry as well, is a customer is like, wait, who's my person? Do I not have a person? Because at the onset, they weren't told, oh, there's an onboarding specialist who's going to be with you for like a week and then hand you off and you're never going to see that person again. Like, if you don't know that, you're like, what do you mean this person has my file? Who is this person? Like, I thought Janet was my person. Did Janet quit? Did she leave the company? What's going on? So yeah. If you are saying, here's the person who's touching your file at this moment, and here's what they're doing, you need to, you need to get ahead of it at the onset by saying, hey, we've got an incredible team who all work together collaboratively to take care of you. Here's an overview of what the next few days or next few weeks or however long that period of time is going to be. Here's an overview of what it's going to look like. These are the 11 people that are going to be working together, or these are the 11 roles in which someone from a team is going to be contributing. And we'll let you know every time we've moved your file from one step to the next step. You know, as humans, we start to get doubt, or we start to worry, we start to have that cognitive dissonance when we're like, wait, this isn't what I thought it was. So making sure that you're telling people what to expect and what's going to happen is a really, really important part of having that CX that they feel really good about.
Yeah, and it's almost like there's I'll use two E's, if you will, that, you know, happen. And in our industry, it's so important. That's education and expectations. And if you're not educating your client on the process and you're not setting expectations on what's going to happen within each process, that's where the gaps end up happening. And I heard a term earlier today a dear friend of both of ours, Dave Savage, who said we are in an education revolution. And it's a, and it's so true on we have to be better at educating. And we went in the last, I don't remember how many years he's talked about how, and even moving forward, where now we're at about 50% of our industry is educating our clients, whether it's in the home buying process or just the actual process once you begin the, you know, and actually found a home and are in a mortgage, et cetera. But even just, you know, even pre, how do you even get ready to buy a home or get ready to get a mortgage? So I thought that was really interesting to hear that, because really it all starts with educating your client in order to start building that great experience as they interact with you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that even that is something that's going to continue to evolve because as more education becomes readily available, it's your job to sort of very quickly ascertain like where is your customer at in the education process so you can jump in with that, you know, right information to the right customer at the right time to help move them further. It's your job to understand what they know and what they don't know so that you can, you know, be that guide who walks alongside them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So Brittany, I can't thank you enough for joining us, and really, I'll say wrap it up, but we never really wrap up customer experience, but we'll say wrapping up CX week. As we continue to move forward with CX. So I'm going to ask you one final question to wrap us up. And that's the same question we posted in our CX Week campaign yesterday. And it's probably going to be impossible for you to say, because I know you have so much to say about CX, but what one word comes to mind, or what one word can describe CX to you? That was our post yesterday. So I'd love to hear your thought on that, if you can even break it down to one word.
I'm going to say everything. I mean, I started this episode by saying everything is experience and experience is everything. I'm going to say everything, because it's kind of like, imagine your customer as like a huge computer, like a mega computer that's computing tons of things, and every single signal or input is going to be part of the eventual output. So every single touch point, every interaction, every part of the experience ultimately matters. And you know, you can exceed expectations, you can dip below expectations. There's a little bit of a wave throughout the process, perhaps. It's not always a straight line, but everything ultimately is important. So I'm gonna go with everything.
Nice. And to talk about just including it all in one snapshot. That's perfect.
So. I know, like no pressure, but literally everything.
Well, again, thank you so much, Brittany, for coming on and just sharing your experiences, your knowledge, and just all the great insights that you have as it relates to customer experience with us today. I certainly appreciate everything that you have brought to us here today.
Oh, well, thank you, Ralph. It's always fun to hang out with you, and it was an honor being on the show. So happy Customer Experience Week to you and everyone at National MI and all of the people who are hanging out with us right now.
All right. We look forward to having you again on soon. And everybody, we look forward to having you join us again for our next episode of The Mortgage Mix. Make sure to check it out where you download your podcast. We'll see you all soon. Take care, everybody.